Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you in the name of the Lord, and a couple of announcements. Tuesday is Julie's birthday, and Wednesday is Alan's birthday, so happy birthday. This evening we will be in Exodus chapter 20, the first seven verses, the first table of the law. And this morning we are dealing with the Passover, that central ceremony as the Israelites remembered the deliverance of God. It was the protective hand upon the Israelites as they put the blood upon the doorposts that signified God's merciful deliverance in the midst of the carrying out of his judgment upon Egypt in the 10th plague. The Passover represented a new beginning, the beginning of months. It reshuffled their entire calendar year to focus upon that beginning and the remembrance of the mercy of God. The hymn is 27, "Great is thy faithfulness."
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
The Israelites and all who had the faith in the protective power of that blood that was splattered upon the doorposts were delivered. And this was in accordance with the instructions that had been given by God. He had faithfully promised to deliver them from Egypt. And when Pharaoh refused, God inflicted 10 plagues upon the Egyptians to show his power over their gods and to accomplish that which he had promised to do. His word is sure, and he is faithful. How firm a foundation is laid for your faith in his excellent word. The hymn is number 80.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge has led, you who unto Jesus for refuge have led. Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not be overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. Thy flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume, and thy gold to refine, thy dross to consume, and thy gold to refine. Even down to old age all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hairs shall their temples adore, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake.
Amen. The prescription for the Lamb without blemish was a type and a shadow of the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. There was only one possible means of salvation, one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, and it is the fairest Lord Jesus. The hymn is 129.
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, Son of God and Son of Man, Thee will I cherish, Thee will I honor, Thou my soul's glory, joy, and
Please stand. We're going to ask Dan to read this passage this morning. It's Exodus 12, verses 1 to 13. And before you do that, Dan, would you open in prayer, please?
Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for, again, this day, together in your name. We thank you for the privilege to worship you, promised in your word, where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you would be in the midst of us. So we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. May your Spirit fall fresh upon us and dwell in us richly this day. Lord, we thank you for the sheep of your pasture. We pray that our hearts would be in tune with thee, that we'd be willing and able to hear your word this morning, to sing forth your praises. We pray, Father, for the one in whom the charge is given to speak forth your word. We pray that it be your word. And we pray that, as you promised, that your word would not return unto you void. And so we pray that your word would go forth this day to your honor and to your glory. And then, Lord, we pray for those who weren't able to be with us. We pray for healing for their bodies and encouragement. We thank you and praise you and bless you in Jesus' precious name with thanksgiving. Amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the house will be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor, next unto his house, take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head and his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hands, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt.
Yeah, thank you. The Passover signified a new beginning. The step of faith in obedience to the Word of God. And this was not only a truth for the new nation of Israel, but it was also an individual application of this promise of God for His faithful protection and His giving of new life. And such was the case with the conversion of an Indian by the name of Bhakt Singh. He was a Sikh, and he had a hatred for Christianity. He blasphemed the Word of God. He tore to pieces the first Bible that he saw. And He had a desire to study abroad, but his father would not allow him to go. But when he promised his mother that he would not change his religion, she convinced his father to let him study engineering in London. So he went to London. He immediately cut his hair and he began smoking and drinking and engaging in all kinds of sinful activities. He spent 7 months of resources in 1 month and he became very unhappy. He concluded that life is the vanity of vanities. And then he decided to go on a pleasure trip to Canada. And on the boat, he decided to sit in on a Christian worship service, just out of curiosity. He fell asleep. But as he suddenly awakened, he saw that everybody else was kneeling, and he initially resisted. But then he decided that since he had removed his shoes in other religious services and shown respect to other faiths, he might as well just go along with the crowd. He knelt down, and suddenly he felt the power of the Holy Spirit. And all he was able to say was, "Blessed be the Lord Jesus." He went on to Canada, and he began to read his Bible, or read a Bible. And he came to a conviction of sin, that he had been wasting his time, that he had been squandering his resources that had been entrusted to him. And he came to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. On February 4th, 1934, he was baptized. And his first words were that he was unworthy, that he deserved to be burned to ashes because of his blasphemy against Jesus and against the Word of God, that he had torn the Bible with his own hands. But he felt the call of God on his life, and he returned to India. When his parents forbade him to admit his conversion, he found himself homeless. But shortly thereafter, his father became a Christian. And he then began a public ministry in obedience, planting churches throughout India. And by the time of his death, 600,000 Indians came to his funeral. He was transformed from a strictly religious Sikh to a church-planting, Holy Spirit-filled servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this transformation that occurred in the life of Bhakt Singh is that which is the new life in Christ that every Christian, to some degree or another, experiences. This Passover that is described here in Exodus chapter 12, it was not Moses' idea. It was a clear instruction from the word of the Lord to Moses and Aaron. It occurred in Egypt before the 10th plague, before their exodus from Egypt. And it delivered a powerful instruction to Moses and to Aaron and to the people of Israel of what they must do to demonstrate not only their faith in the protective seal of that blood, to deliver them from the judgment that was coming upon Egypt, but also then subsequently to be remembered perpetually as the means by which God had delivered them from that great judgment. And it was to signify their beginning as a nation. Very much like we celebrate the 4th of July as the birth date of the United States, this Passover was to signify God's mighty hand in freeing them from bondage in Egypt and delivering them unto the promised land which he had covenanted with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob to give to those who would obediently follow his commandments. God said to Moses and Aaron that this would be to them a beginning of months. Their civil year began in September, October, corresponding with the harvest, the month Tisri. But this was late March, early April, the new beginning, a beginning of months. And in so doing, it was the beginning of their sacred year, not their civil year, but their sacred year, their commitment of faithful obedience to the Lord. It was the month Abib, and literally that means the beginning of barley. It was the time in which the barley began to form in the spring. It did not coincide with the typical New Year's Day of Egypt, which was late June, the beginning of the flooding of the Nile, and the sign of the prevalence of the blessings of crops in the springtime. It did not likewise correspond with the Babylonian New Year, which was the vernal equinox. But instead, it was the month in which they were delivered from Egypt. That month which, by the time of Esther and Nehemiah, would be called Nisan, but now here it is called Abib. It was the beginning of months. It was to signify their fresh start, their new beginning. Very much like at the point of our conversion, when we proclaim publicly our faith in Christ and we are baptized. It is the symbolic reference to the new life, the second birth that we experience as Christians. Even as the Lord said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And thus, the Israelites were commanded to strict obedience to the instruction that they were given. In order to be safely delivered, they must follow specifically the instructions that the Lord gave unto them. And this Passover was thus perpetually established in the traditions, in the religious cycle, to be annually observed by the Israelites as they remembered what God had done for them. And we need to remember that initial commitment that we make as Christians, and to remember and to reflect upon it, to recognize God's enabling protection in preserving us to the point where He has provided for our recognition of our salvation. Though the Bible says that for those who are His own, our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Nevertheless, there is that point in time in which we acknowledge our sin. We submit in humble repentance, and we look to the Savior as the only possible hope for our salvation. God gave instructions to Moses and to Aaron regarding this lamb. The lamb that was to be selected, it was to be a lamb without blemish. Later on, the instructions to Israel would be far more specific. They were not to take a lamb that was blind or lame or sick, as Malachi 1:8 reminds us. It had to be a perfect sacrifice, as Leviticus 22, verses 19 to 25 would specify. They couldn't just worship half-heartedly. They had to commit their best to the worship and to the service of the Lord. And thus, this lamb was taken into their household on the 10th day of the first month, Abib. And it was to remain with them until the evening of the 14th day. And during that 5 days, it would have become very treasured, very beloved among the family. And yet at the end of that time period, they were required to shed its blood and to put its blood upon the doorposts and upon the upper doorposts, the lintels of the door. And thus, they were to be delivered. It was to be a lamb without blemish. And it says here in the first year. It doesn't specify either a sheep or a goat at this point. There were not any specific directions, as later would be given that it would later be clarified that it had to be at least 8 days of age and it could not be more than 1 year. This represented the replacement, the substitution of the firstborn that was being spared among the Israelites and all who would believe in comparison to the Egyptians, the unbelievers, those who would not recognize and heed the commandment of God. The firstborn of every Egyptian and the firstborn of all their animals was taken. But this lamb in its first year symbolized that replacement, that substitution, even as the Lord Jesus Christ is our substitution to replace the penalty that we otherwise would deserve. And thus, the Passover lamb was described not only as the means by which through faith they would be saved and delivered, but it was a foreshadowing. It was a type and a symbol of that which was coming, the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, as John the Baptist would identify him in John 1, verse 29. And Paul would later say to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, Christ, our Passover. And thus, central to this observation of the Passover, the remembrance of God's deliverance was a foreshadowing of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And thus, the instructions for the lamb were applied spiritually, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were told that they must gather together according to the number of the household. And again, later the instructions would be that it was to be for no less than 10 and no more than 20 for each lamb that was slain. It was thus that if the household was too small, as they selected the lambs according to the household of their fathers, if their house was too small, if their family was too small, then they would gather together with their neighbor and accumulate sufficient numbers to qualify then for either no less than 10, no more than 20. As they followed this instruction. And this too is a picture of salvation itself. For salvation is appointed and apportioned individually, not as a collective whole, not as a national salvation, but as an individual matter of faith. That the salvation, the deliverance of each one within the household was determined by whether they were under the blood, whether they were protected by that blood splattered upon the doorpost. Even as we are told that we are delivered from our judgment, the rightful wrath of God, by our individual faith and our trust in the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were told that the lamb must be put through the fire, that it could not be sodden in water, but it must be put into the flame. And this symbolized the suffering that Christ himself would endure on our behalf. The perfect, sinless Lamb of God was tormented and beaten and mistreated and rejected by his own. That he might serve as that deliverance, that propitiation for our salvation. And thus, the fire represented the trials and tribulations, the sufferings, even the persecution that God's people endure, even as Christ himself suffered for our salvation. And the Lord said that because they hated me, they shall hate you also. They were told again that they must take this lamb into their household for a period of 5 days. And this close association with it, this love that they had for it, indicated that at the end of that 5 days, there was a loss, there was a grieving, there was a sorrow for its sacrifice. And this too represents our understanding or our recognition of what Christ has done for us. He must be beloved to us. He loved us before we loved him. And yet, when we recognize what he has done for us, there must be that demonstration of love. There must be that recognition of his great penalty, his great sacrifice, his great love for us. And they were commanded to eat it in its entirety. They could not leave any left over. This too represents our commitment to Christ as we follow him in obedience to his word. We cannot worship half-heartedly. We cannot serve him halfway. The Lord would later tell his disciples, you cannot serve both God and mammon. In other words, we can't have one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. We must be fully committed. And we must recognize that our allegiance is in our status as citizens of heaven rather than citizens of this world or of any government of this world. They were told to be ready, to be girded about their loins, to have their shoes on, and to have their staff in their hand, so that they were immediately ready, as they were told to eat in haste, and then be ready to flee, as the Lord commanded. And we too need to recognize our necessity of being fully committed to the obedience to the word of God, to be ready to go and to do whatever he commands us to do, and to not impose our own terms or our own limits upon the word of God or the service that he calls his people to do. This was a beginning of months, a new beginning. And thus, as the instruction was given, a reiteration of that intent of God to punish, to judge, to hold accountable the Egyptians and the Pharaoh for their refusal to let the people go, to provide that 10th plague, though the other 9 had demonstrated the superiority of the true God over all the false gods of Egypt. This one was not just a use of the forces of nature to demonstrate the power of God, but it was a costly lesson in disobedience, that they lost the firstborn of their families and of their livestock. Even the Pharaoh lost his firstborn son. And this indicates that the judgment of God is not restricted to social class or determined by wealth. We live in a world in which often criminal justice is meted out based on one's resources, that if one has great wealth, they can often escape the penalty of the law. But God's justice cannot be bought. The truth cannot be hidden by the rhetoric or the smooth talking of a lawyer. Our salvation is dependent upon the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, even as the deliverance of those who responded in faith to this instruction by God were delivered not because of who they were. We're told that out of Egypt came a mixed multitude. And on one hand, that means that, yes, there were some unbelievers in the midst. And we see that later in the history of Israel as some of them wanted to turn back to the perceived pleasures of Egypt. They wanted to retain the false gods of Egypt. But it also means that it was a mixed multitude in that they were not all ethnically Israelites. There were some among the Egyptians who recognized that this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was the true God. They had seen over the previous weeks and months the clear demonstration of the superiority of the God of the Bible, the Creator God, over the false deities of Egypt. And thus there were some among even the Egyptians who responded in faith, who heard of this discussion of the coming judgment, the planned execution of the wrath of God upon the firstborn of everyone who was not protected by the blood. And some of them, it is given us to understand, also followed the Hebrew practice of placing the blood of the lamb upon their doorposts. And thus they too were spared from that execution of that judgment. And when the instruction of God came to the Israelites to depart, then some of them also went in faith. They put aside their allegiance to the Pharaoh and to their country and to their old way of life. And they moved out in a step of faith, even as we are called to respond in obedience to the Word of God. To recognize that faith in Christ sometimes even causes divisions in families and in relationships, in friendships, even in work arrangements. But to recognize that, even as Christ said, to count the cost, to take up our cross and follow Him, and to submit obediently to the will of God and to the Word of God in our lives, that we might not only be delivered from judgment. Some people are primarily motivated by their desire to avoid hell. But faith in Christ also involves a far different commitment, a far different realization, that not only are we being spared from the fires of eternal hellfire, but we are privileged to serve the risen Lord. We are called into a relationship, adopted into the family of God, and chosen to be His instruments, His ambassadors for His kingdom. As He ascended back to heaven, He told His disciples that He was leaving them, but He was not leaving them without help. He promised to send another comforter who would teach them all things. And that Holy Spirit of God indwells every believer even to this day and for as long as the Lord shall tarry. The Israelites were spared from the destruction, and thus they were told that it was the Lord's Passover. It was the Lord's Passover because He was the means by which they were delivered. It was His power that protected them from the judgment of the avenging angel. It was their faith in Him that guided them in the submission of what to do and how to do it, that they were not the victims of this judgment, this wrath of God that was poured out throughout the land of Egypt. And this deliverance was thus instituted among the Israelites to be a remembrance that each and every year they were commanded to reflect back upon what God had done, how He had saved them, how He had delivered them, how He had faithfully kept His promises to bring them to the promised land. And this was then to be continually observed. There were times in which they deviated from it and they suffered nationally and individually because of their neglect for the Word of God. And when at various points they came to a realization of how they had deviated, how they had neglected, how they had failed to carry out this instruction for remembrance, for faithfully recognizing what God had done mercifully for them. Then there was often great mourning, weeping, rending one's clothes as the sign of their sorrow and their mourning. And whenever they reverted back to the way in which God had instructed, it was a time of great joy and great celebration as they remembered and reflected upon what God had done for them. And we too should have times when we recommit ourselves, when we resolve again to do that which God has called us to do. The Israelites were given a beginning of months, reshuffling their entire calendar year that they might be refocused. And oftentimes with a new calendar year, we engage in resolutions, new commitments to do that which God has called us to do. But though the world may engage in such, they quickly forget those resolutions. They quickly move on to new goals and to new activities, forgetting those commitments. But the Christian must never do so. We must never neglect. We must never turn away from the commitment that he calls us to do. He promises great blessing when we obey his word. Throughout the Old and the New Testament, he always said, I desire obedience more than sacrifice. And he promises to bless obedience, to bless and reward those who faithfully do that which he has called us to do. He promises to bless us when we remember him, when we obey him, when we do his will in thought, in word, and in deed. This was a beginning of months for the Israelites. It symbolized a new beginning, and we must recognize our responsibility to recommit ourselves, to faithfully do that which God has called us to do, to remember what he has done for us individually and collectively in the past, to acknowledge his mercy and his grace, to praise him for what he has done, and to thus willingly submit to that which he has called us to do. The Israelites were told to place the blood of the lamb on the doorposts, on the sides and on the upper doorpost, to symbolize that all who entered into that door were under the protection of God. And likewise, the applied blood of Christ, as the scripture says, even of Christ, I am the door, and it is his shed blood which covers us. When the holy, righteous God looks at us, he does not see our sin. We are covered. We're under the blood, as the saying goes. He sees the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that is given to us as our protection, as our covering, so that when the execution of God's wrath is carried out, there will be a separation of the faithful from the unfaithful. Those who are unbelievers will be cast off into outer darkness, into that everlasting lake of fire. But those who are the redeemed, those who are safely under the blood, we'll hear a different pronouncement, a different judgment than the wicked. For he will say to us in that day, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into thy rest. And thus, the Passover. This passage says that he passed through Egypt. He executed his wrath upon all who were not safely under the blood. But for those who were protected, it says he passed over. He bypassed. He did not execute his wrath upon those who faithfully trusted him. The shed blood of that lamb did not save them. It represented the faith, the obedience, which they showed in doing that which God had called them to do. And likewise, we cannot engage in animal sacrifices this day to satisfy the wrath of God. It is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ which paid the penalty for our sins. It is that answer when someone wonders, what must I do to be saved? It is nothing but the blood. We must have faith. Our faith or our salvation is accomplished by our faith, not by our works, lest we should boast. But it is nothing but the blood of Jesus. The hymn is 477. I'm sorry, 677.
690?
No. I think it's 677. Nothing with the blood?
Yeah, 677.
677, sorry about that. 677.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll overcome. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll reach my home. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. And as the blood of the Lamb was sufficient on the doorposts of the houses of the Israelites and all who would submit to the instruction of the Word of God, so too the shed blood of Christ is sufficient. His blood atoned for all of the sins of the ones in the past, in the present, and in the future, for as long as the Lord shall tarry. His blood is sufficient. Jesus paid it all. The hymn is 690.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now in thee I find thy power and thine alone. Can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus made it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Amen. And may we commit ourselves, even in the early months of this year, to a beginning of months. May we resolve to do that which God has called you and me to do, to faithfully submit to His will and to His word, to be the ambassadors for His kingdom, to be the salt and light of this world that He has called us to be, each and every day, in every situation. Amen.
Do you have any thoughts this morning regarding the beginning of month?